We are back.
How are you doing? Going?
Snap. I'm okay, man. It's been a crazy few weeks. Good weeks, crazy weeks, bad up and downs. I think same for you, man. What's happening on your side?
I've been focused on work, I will say, as usual. I have also been focused on, implementing the details about my routine that we talked about during the last episode.
Yeah,
it's working really well for me so far. I'm knocking on wood, and focusing on shipping things, writing, learning, making things happen. That's pretty okay.
It sounds good, man. And the thing is also something that I wanted to touch on a little bit, which I thought was interesting. Also, one of the reasons we were kind of a little bit delayed, but I'll talk to you about the delay because I also have a few thoughts about that. Let's say delay in the episodes. You also took a vacation, or shall I say staycation?
Yeah.
How did that work for you? That was an interesting idea.
I took some time off. Just to breathe a little, I planned vacations end of March this year, which was like probably the worst timing.
And you were going to go to Asia, right?
Exactly. Boom. Exactly. So that was supposed to be the big vacation of this year and last year, to be honest. So we're waiting for that, and this didn't happen. So we decided, it's not like we had a choice. we are postponing. And I decided to continue work normally, continue what I was doing.
Yeah, zero break, right?
Exactly. I felt at one point that I needed not to launch Slack first thing the morning. Not first thing in the morning, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Not having to get in and solve my issues, my work issues, solve other folks' issues, work. Just having a break. Not that I don't like my team or anything. I just wanted to breathe a little. And I think this is something I should have done earlier. Either it was not an opportunity, because when this hit everybody, it would have not been fair to my team to just say, hey, you know what? I plan vacations. I'm going. See you, suckers.
See you, suckers.
So once it got better in my team, I told them, I'm going to take a week off. I did that. Might not have been enough, but at least it gave me the opportunity to breathe.
Yeah, it took a week, right? A week.
Yeah, a little more than a week. Like 7 days, something like that. For those of you listening to us, Werner and I are both freelance. We are both independent.
Yeah.
So we don't have paid vacations or things like that.
Yeah, that's a thing, dude.
So every time we take a break, it needs to be it's a decision. Right?
It's a calculated break, yeah. Also, what can one calculate these days? It's very hard. It's interesting you mention it, because I thought when you told me that you're going to take this break, it was interesting. And then funny enough, I had a very good conversation with a mate of mine yesterday who's kind of in the field of engagement, and he's a speaker, author, and one of his big things is that, a lot of the things that we do is around engagement. Anyway, I'm waffling again. But what we spoke about was really, even his reaction when this whole situation hit the fan, right? Everybody did different things. So we saw the people heading home, being bored, hitting the TikTok, and just hanging out and being bored. I saw a lot of that. And then we had the other opposite. And I think you and me kind of fell into that other end of things, where you started to overcompensate for what was going on. Because we stuck, we kind of felt deep down that, okay, cool, we need to up production. We need to be hyper-productive now. And that happened to me too, right? I mean, last week I kind of took a short break because we could move around a little bit. So I took the family off to, we took the family. My wife was in control of that situation, like always, bless her. We went off to the countryside where my in-laws, thanks to my privilege, have a little, like a shack. And we stayed there for 4 or 5 days, just in nature, dude. And it's like, I mean, of course, we still worked. I worked a little bit, but it was just like a break away from everything, dude. And I think that is something that's important. But to my original point, I think a lot of us just went into overdrive, into production, and we are now in this kind of new normal. And as much as that we need to talk about working from home or working remotely, we need to bring vacation and taking a break and looking after your mental health into that equation as well, right?
I do agree with that. I do agree with all you said. It's very easy to overcompensate, as you're saying. A lot of folks also started to work from home and realized that they are working more than that. Not essentially more in terms of intensity, but because they are focused all day long and they don't have distraction at the end of the day, they feel more tired. I've seen a lot of that going around on Twitter.
These video calls, dude, is a soul suck. I've seen some content going around about people talking about the intensity of video calls. Now, initially, I thought I think video calls with the caveat that you have your camera on. Because I have to attend a few things here and there where I don't really have to engage, but I have to be in the calls. And then you can still do things. But when you have your video on, I feel like you have to, you feel like deep down that you have to be engaged. So you're much more focused than you would be in a normal meeting, which says a lot for meetings, right? I've always been in the case that there's a lot of meetings that doesn't need to happen, right? I'm a big anti-fan of the weekly or daily stand-up. We can discuss that later. But meetings, because we have meetings, you know? And I feel like now that we have video calls, those things suck the energy out of you, right? I think we need to analyze like what meetings are necessary and what not. Because when you do a video call and you have engagement, you can really have like deep interaction with people, I believe. But it's just getting too much, man. After a day where I had like 3 or 4 of these video calls, I want to like just die.
I'm lucky I don't have those. I don't have much of those.
I have a lot of them then.
And actually that came at a surprise for me because I never did so many video calls during a day,
unfortunately, I'm a consultant, man.
Yeah, I never had more than 2 or something like that video calls. I have a lot of calls, but all our calls within my team, we decided extremely early that those calls will be mainly audio, not really because of technology or anything. I mean, there is technology because I'm working with people based in West Africa, and for some of them, internet is bandwidth. Very expensive.
Yeah,
exactly. So there is that reason. Second thing, I'm dealing with a lot of folks. Basically, there is also cultural acceptation of video, which is not as as wide as not allowed, but it's not just something people do.
Okay? Yeah, I agree.
So and I went in with that. I was like, okay, those are the rules. We are going to do that, and I'm going to tell you honestly, I was afraid that not having video calls at all would be an inhibitor when it comes to create relationships with all the folks, because I met one guy from my whole team, it went well. A mix of a lot of audio, a lot of written content, a lot of chat, and it worked out well. So I'm less having that experience, I'm less a partisan of you need to have video calls, because I was a partisan of that before, and mea culpa, and I didn't know better. You don't know what you don't know, right? And I did that mistake of thinking that in order to create bonds, you need to have those video calls, and I'm realizing that I created very strong bonds with some of the folks in my team, and I never saw them.
I think the truth is always in the middle somewhere, right? It's like, even when I was at the big firm, like there's a lot of people that I worked with for a long time that I never met even. I wouldn't even like, even wasn't for the little Outlook photo on the email, I wouldn't know what they even looked like, right? And you still built those friendships. There's even people to this day that I still remember, like, hey, that's a good guy. You know, you don't have to really meet people. I think it's all about output and the value that you bring to the table, right? If there's no value, there's no point. So, I mean, the answer is always somewhere in the middle. The other thing I wanted to raise with you too is that, I mean, I kind of dropped off the radar, and one of the reasons we missed, shit, it's probably like, it's going on two episodes already that we missed, is partly my fault. Partly because it was like really a something good happened to me. I mean, I've spoken to you about this before, but I've mentioned here is that I won some business in the time of video calls and isolation, which then led to some workshop work that was all done remotely. And in fact, that was like a two and a half hour video call that happened, which I was really like stoked about. It went really well. We did some training and some presentations and stuff, and was nervous. Nice. My business, that is fundamentally something that I always do in person with a bunch of people, and we took it all online and it worked.
So it
was great. But the thing is, I had to make like a calculated decision. So between being taking that break afterwards, because I took the break after that session, and working up into that session, I had to do a lot of work to prepare for it and whatever. And I completely felt overwhelmed. Not like freaking out or anything, but, you know, it's like what we discuss here in this episode all the time. It's like, what is your priorities? Because I'll tell you what, dude, with having a little 3-year-old here at home and a wife that also is a full-time consultant, like, shit ain't real anymore. You know, like, it's like, you can't really, I have my little schedules, but that schedule is kind of just a guideline. I have to work towards what's the reality in the minute. And things got a little bit crazy. And then I had to give up a few things. So for example, my precious block thinking, my YouTube videos that I wanted to create, I mean, that all got delayed. And it was just really focusing on the family and focusing on getting this project done properly, you know, because that project might lead to more. But not even that being said, it's just having a success for a change, you know, in this time. And luckily, I have a colleague who understands that, old Jono, and you know, it happened. But it also brings me, dude, I'm waffling a little bit because I thought about it before we jumped on the call. It's really around this idea of creating content, because I feel like when you do a podcast, you have to be consistent. So I broke one of the most cardinal rules of consistency, is that we kind of just dropped off the radar, didn't even press the record button to tell anybody we're not coming in, you know? But then also on the flip side, I spoke to someone else recently about social media. So social media has been really a saving grace for me, dude. If it wasn't for my activities in social media, and specifically also I recently started doing some video. I mean, you've also actually helped me with those videos, by the way. So pushing them into LinkedIn and just engaging with people up to a certain level, not too much, has been really good for me. I still believe that you need to do that. But then there's this evil dark side of this thing, dude. And it's like, and this is also probably where this podcast thing comes in and the consistency, whatever. It's like, I feel like sometimes we are chasing this feeding the algorithm thing. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
If you want to do the YouTube thing, you need to be consistent, man. No matter what. You need to feed this digital beast. And then I'm starting to think like, shit, am I now the slave to the beast? Or am I using the beast for my purposes? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, there is. I spend a lot of time on what we call BookTube, which is basically the YouTube of book reviews.
Yeah.
And very often, a lot of people who are doing BookTubes, I've seen a few videos lately about them basically falling into depression. Explaining exactly what you explained, that they started to do that YouTube thing to share their love for books, and now they read books to create those videos.
Yeah.
Books that they don't essentially love, but this is the book of the month and everybody is around that book, that fiction or whatsoever. It's mainly fiction work, okay? And they just lose their passion because yeah, they need to push, they need to publish. So while I don't, I'm not creating content outside of block thinking right now. So I don't feel that. However, I have sympathy with that feeling of being obliged to do things because it's the system. It looks a lot like what my partner is going through with papers, academic papers.
Yeah, that's the same thing. It's just physical, right?
And publish and publish. Now there's a tangible at the end of the day. You know, you need to have your diploma. I mean, there's a tangible for you also. You need to succeed. So I'm lucky right now. I'm looking at you folks, trying to see your reaction, share, learn from your experiences for the day when I decide to publish something. At least I'm prepared. But it doesn't look like it's the best feeling.
Yeah, dude, I think it's how you try and shape it, right? So for example, just to give you like a little bit of a view of what I'm currently doing, but it's like the reason I'm bringing it up now is just like being the slave, because I'm kind of dipping into this world and then coming out and then trying to figure it out myself, right? So for example, with block thinking, I still think it was a cardinal sin not to publish, right? But the thing is also, I think what you and me were trying to do is we're trying not to publish bullshit, right? And we're kind of doing this as a project together. Of course, we want you, the listener, to have value out of it and at least have a little bit of fun with us, right? But so I feel a bit bad about not publishing. So, but the thing is, when it comes to some of the other channels that I didn't publish in, I feel less bad, because I feel like every time I publish content, and I think the same is probably here for block thinking, is that we speak a lot, even coming into block thinking, is that like, what is the value we're adding this week? And you know, maybe if there isn't any value, we shouldn't be recording. But I know for a fact that with this video thing, which has been working really well for me in LinkedIn specifically, you know, if I don't have anything to say, I shouldn't be pressured to say something. It's like, what takes lead, the system or you? Okay. And the system is a son of a bitch, dude, because I've run a test. You have to give an example of how the system works, because the system is not really about your friends liking stuff. It's about the algorithm liking you, in my opinion. Because, for example, I posted a video recently where I... So all my videos have been consistently doing well. And then at some stage, I posted a video where I also had a link to YouTube. So from one platform to another platform. And then that video dipped completely. Boop. Right? Because the algorithm doesn't want people to go out of the platform. So I did this experiment to see what happens. And I actually tweaked it now in a different way to see what's going to happen again. So I'm kind of playing with it. But the thing is, that kind of shows you what you're up against, you know. And the thing is, these platforms require us as content creators to create more content. And the thing is, then you end up, like you said, you end up with some guy reviewing toilet paper, for fuck's sakes, you know. You know, like, because he's just desperate to get content out.
Yeah, it's, I mean, perhaps he likes it, I know.
You know, that's respect
the kings of every people. When it comes to that and priority and what you were telling about not publishing block thinking, unfortunately, for Anetka, I'm not that an adept of Marie Kondo when it comes to actual life stuff in the apartment. But when it comes to food and work, I'm a huge proponent of, and you know it well, of just putting aside what is not a priority. And I do think that you did well. You when you need to have a break, like you did, you need to have a break. I'm not feeling bad about missing those episodes, because I know what you did when we missed those episodes. I know you were not bullshitting. You see what I mean? We didn't miss those episodes because Werner wanted to play FIFA.
Well, it was a little bit.
or something like that. You had tangible paid work. Okay. You had to take time off. So why should I be? Oh, it's probably the opposite. This is, we are doing this podcast for ourselves. Obviously, we keep the rhythm. I think it's been almost... It's been a long time we are on that 2-week schedule and we are making it work.
We're kind of keeping
so it's
it
fine. We can miss. If we don't miss, I mean, we are not.
We're not chasing the numbers, man.
Exactly. We're not chasing the numbers. We have a few people that are listening to the podcast, and we thank you all for that. We don't expect, honestly, it's unrealistic to think that we are going to make money. What we do is we talk a lot about our other ways to succeed, either personally or professionally. So I will enjoy you, actually, not now, today, but I will enjoy you talking more about your YouTube experiment. I think that it's something that a lot of people will enjoy. Talk about are you the linking king in our show right now.
I would definitely like to talk about that a little bit. I mean, I've been trying to dip into that a little bit. Not that I know anything or have any success yet, but...
I mean, it's pretty good. You had like 1,000 views on the phone, 2,000 views on your video.
It's funny,
or something like
that. I mean, LinkedIn has been working really well for me up to this point. Yeah, it's interesting.
This is excellent. This is excellent. So, yeah, you keep. Recently, I had a friend of mine who had a gig because of a review. Like seriously,
nice.
Like tens of thousands of dollar gig. Because somebody posted a good review on his professional, there are a few good reviews, one of them pushed the balance, and he was contacted, hey, I saw your review about that, I have that project, let's work together. And what you're doing, it's what you need to do to have those reviews, to have this social feedback. The more I think about it, the more I think that these are, I mean, it's not me, it's like, you know, it's like Jonathan thought that, social feedback is by far the most important thing you can get.
Yeah, and staying top of mind. I think whatever is important for you at that time, and make that system work for you. Because, I mean, I'm a consultant, dude. Like, I mean, I'm not the biggest social guy, to be honest. I'm not a social butterfly at all. But looking at what happened, so I had to really reflect on my business and what happened with this, with all of us stuck at home. And I fundamentally, like, I've been on the move a lot, you know, meeting people, doing phone calls to, so I mean, the digital thing hasn't been too bad for me because that's what I do. But me being stuck in an apartment is a problem. I mean, for you less so, because I mean, I think in your technology world and your product management world, you know, that you fit into, I don't want to say that you're siloed or like you're not unique, but I can grab onto what you have and I can sell you to someone, where I'm a little bit fluffy all over the place, you know, I'm this little butterfly. And the thing is, if I don't speak to people or at least let them see something that might resonate with them, I'm not top of mind at all. So, I mean, I've seen with the videos that I'm, or the content I'm doing, is that, you know, people reach out to me and I've had a few phone calls and conversations, not business per se, but people, hey, Van, are you still around, dude? Let's catch up, you know, because the thing is, in the old days, I would go hang out at the office or go see people, whatever. And now I'm trying to use some of these platforms to keep that going, right? So, yeah, I mean, you need to make it work for you, I guess. I don't have all the perfect things. The toughest thing, of course, is also if you do something like what is your value? What is the asset you want to build out of it? What do you want to get out of it? And that's always a tough one.
You know what? I think next episode we need to talk about your strategies to get out while being remote.
Yeah, we can do that. Flap lips about that.
What?
Yeah, dude. Anyways, let's snip off the episode here, unless you have anything sexy to say.
Always I have.
I like your shirt there,
no,
by the
it's
way.
All good.
You can't see it, Mr. Listener.
I will see if I find it on the website. I doubt, but it was a cool one.
Yeah, people say I'm getting too old now for cool t-shirts.
Yeah.
Anyways. Jono, it was always a pleasure meeting up with you. I'm taking the family out now for a little bit of a break. And then we shall hit the keyboard again. And then for you listening to us talking nonsense, and you still listening, don't forget to look after yourself, take a break, and always wash your hands.
Well, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.